Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Happy Tuesday, February 1, 8, 2020. Coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. That is right. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. And a few things we want to address today. If you tuned into the Monday edition of the show, and by the way, if you missed any edition of WKAR's Current Sports, you can simply go to WKAR.org and watch, listen at WKAR.org. You can watch the show because every live stream is posted for your viewing pleasure after it's aired at Facebook.com/WKAR News. If you missed yesterday's Current Sports, man, we tried to cram a lot into 60 minutes, as we usually do. You know, I always say here on Current Sports, the busiest shows are on Monday and Friday. On Monday, you're trying to recap everything that happened in the local sporting world and a few national stories. Cramming that into 60 minutes can be a tough job. And on Friday, you're trying to preview all of that action. But, you know, we touched upon Mel Tucker and the media backlash that he is receiving. We dove into what went wrong with the Michigan State men's basketball team against Maryland on Saturday. We also dove just a bit into Michigan State hockey, even, which is a rarity on Current Sports, as MSU hockey had an opportunity to even the score in the duel in the D yesterday, but that didn't happen. So we addressed some not so much feel-good stories in Michigan State sports. On today's Current Sports, I do not only want to pass along some news to you all concerning Mel Tucker, who is trying to fill out his assistant coaching staff, but we'll weigh in on it a bit as well, as he has brought in some help for the offensive line. Also, Tom Izzo held his press conference yesterday and touched on a few things, as, you know, we now just have 5 regular season games left in the Michigan State men's basketball year, and Izzo is trying so desperately to motivate this team and to try and get his team to look at the glasses half full and not half empty. So I'll touch on one bit of interesting quotes that he said. We'll get to that. Izzo, you know, it's as we have 5 games left, I feel like the expectations are changing a bit with this team. I'll explain, all right? Also, the Detroit Lions have reportedly spoken to other teams about Darius Slay. And, you know, I didn't even get a chance to harp on, you know, I'm a huge NBA guy. I didn't get a chance to elaborate and harp on how entertaining that NBA All-Star game was on Sunday. I do want to touch upon that because it was the most entertaining All-Star game in the history of the All-Star game, all right? Other leagues need to take note because the change of format worked. I bashed it. I thought it was idiotic and it would not lead to any competitiveness because we've never seen that in NBA All-Star game history, but man, I was wrong. Totally wrong on that, all right? So a lot of things to get to on today's Current Sports, as well as introducing you to one of the many Current Sports production assistants and beat reporters that we have working with us throughout this semester. We will invite Eric Bach to the show to talk about his beat centered on sports gambling and his story, which will be published later on this afternoon. So we'll tease it a bit here on Today's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in. Oh, and you can text that number, too. Text it. You can weigh in courtesy of the live stream. Comment below the video at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Jack Kerwin is behind the glass today. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I knew this headline was coming sooner or later. He's one of my favorite coaches since, you know, this dates back all the way to my first internship at Michigan State University. He was one of the first coaches that I got the chance to cover here locally in the greater Lansing area. The great, legendary Pat O'Keefe, who has spent the last five decades coaching and making an impact on the lives of his players in Grand Ledge. He has decided to retire. The Hall of Famer. Yeah, he knows it's now time to move on to other things in life. O'Keefe has retired from his position leading the Grand Ledge Comets baseball program after a successful, check this, 51 seasons in charge. Are you kidding me? Yeah, the now 74-year-old O'Keefe said the decision came down to a desire to spend more time with his family. Quote, it's foolish to think that we are going to live forever and we are going to have lots of time to see them. I'm just gone so much all the time. Everybody thinks coaching is just a season, and it's not. It's a year-round thing now. I've got 15 grandkids. I've got lots of things to keep me busy, and now can go see my grandkids do things that I don't hardly ever get to see them do. So we're actually in the works of getting O'Keefe on the show at some point this week. But one of my favorite local coaches, just a class act, and one of the hardest working coaches. I mean, you don't spend five decades somewhere and have the kind of success that Pat O'Keefe has had in his career without putting in the work. And he certainly has done that. So we wish Coach O'Keefe well on his retirement. All right, MSU football has hired a new coach to help out Mel Tucker. A new coach has joined Mel Tucker's assistant coaching staff. Chris Kapilovic, he has nearly 30 years of coaching experience, including roles as an offensive coordinator and or run game coordinator at Southern Mississippi from 2008 to 2011, North Carolina from 2012 to 2018, and Colorado last season alongside Tucker. He has coached multiple NFL players, including first-round draft picks and record-setting offenses during his career. More on that hire in just a moment. The Michigan State hockey team fell to Michigan 4-1 last night in the annual Duel in the D at Little Caesars Arena. The Wolverines, sitting at now 15-12-3, 10-8-2-1, scored twice in the first period and then added a goal early in each of the next two periods. The Spartans, who now fall to 14-15-1, 10-9-1-0 in conference, outshot Michigan in all three periods by a count of 32-21 for the game, but could only find the back of the net just once. This is what head coach Danton Cole had to say. Quote, I thought our guys worked hard. We were a lot better than we were on Friday night. We played a pretty hard game. Did a lot of good things, but couldn't get more than one past their goaltender. So, excuse me, Michigan State hockey falling to Michigan yesterday. The MSU women's basketball team was also in action last night at the Breslin Center. Behind 61 points from underclassmen, the Michigan State women's hoop squad captured a 66-54 dub against Minnesota at the Brez. All but 5 points came from the Spartan freshmen and sophomores. Michigan State held the lead for over 35 minutes after losing 5 straight games. Michigan State has rebounded to take 2 in a row at the Brez, improving to 13-12 overall, 6-8 in Big Ten action. Minnesota falls to 15-11 overall, 5-10 in the Big Ten. Sophomore guard Nia Clouden earned her second career double-double of the year, 16 points, 10 boards. Her previous double-double last season came against Virginia on November 28th of 2018 with 10 points, 11 assists. Freshman guard Julia Arault tied her career high with 14 points while adding 5 boards and 2 blocks, and freshman Maura Joyner was just shy of a double-double with a career high 11 rebounds and 9 points. All right, Detroit Lions news here. The Lions have reportedly spoken with multiple teams about a trade involving Darius Slay, but Detroit will be adamant about what it will cost to acquire the Pro Bowl corner. That's what a source is telling ESPN insider Adam Schefter. Conversations with teams include a new contract for Slay as a part of the deal. Slay, who is 29 years old, is entering the final year of his contract in 2020. Slay has been Detroit's best defensive player and made 3 straight Pro Bowls. Slay's potential to be traded goes back to last year's deadline when Detroit dealt safety Quandre Diggs to Seattle. Slay was bothered by that move and said he knows that, quote, nobody's safe, end quote, from being traded. All right, if you care, the Detroit Red Wings are in action tonight. They will play host to the Montreal Canadiens. The Wings are 14-43-4. Puck drop scheduled for 7:30 p.m. And a wild ending to yesterday's 62nd running of the Daytona 500, featuring a really scary accident near the finish line that left Ryan Newman in serious condition as Denny Hamlin celebrated his win in NASCAR's marquee season-opening race. Newman was quickly transported to Halifax Medical Center. His injuries are not life-threatening, thank goodness, according to a statement from Roush Fenway Racing. In the final stretch of the race, Newman was leading the pack until he was bumped from behind by Ryan Blaney. Contact sent Newman crashing into the wall before another driver collided with the driver's side of Newman's vehicle. That sent Newman's number 6 airborne before it came crashing to a halt upside down on the side of the track. My goodness, this came from NASCAR's official Twitter page. Quote, Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He is in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are not life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. We appreciate your patience and cooperation, and we will provide more information as it becomes available. But thank goodness that, you know, Ryan Newman is still with us, because watching that accident online, oh, just makes your stomach drop. So, all right, the less important matters now as we move along here on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, if you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Text that same number. You can weigh in that way as well. Comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet the show. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, you know what? Before I dive into this new hire for Mel Tucker's coaching staff here for the Michigan State football team, I do want to pass along news if you have not already read or heard about this news that Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, he isn't done yet. Quarterback posted on his Instagram page that he is going to, quote, make another run at it. Brees turned 41 in January. He was scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent on March 18th, but has made it clear that he has really no interest in testing the open market and seeing what else is out there. So, you know, his only choice, staying in New Orleans or retiring. So he's coming back, and he posted a lovely picture of what looks to be Hawaii, and he's kind of got his hands open, and it's a picturesque photo. It's really nice. Kind of jealous. Wish I could, like, teleport right now, have Jack do the rest of the show. But it's a really nice photo.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Never been. Never been.
I would recommend it.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it's Hawaii. It looks gorgeous in just about every photo you see of Hawaii, right? So when did you go?
My sophomore year of high school, it was our band trip, actually. Yeah, we went to Oahu and spent, like, a week there.
That is awesome, awesome stuff. So, yeah, that's where Brees is, and that's where he made his announcement that he will be coming back for the 2020 campaign. So we'll see what happens there. And also, you know, we've been discussing off and on this Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal and Atlanta Braves outfielder Nick Markakis. He weighed in, and he basically joined in on the bashing of the Astros, telling reporters that every single guy, quote, every single guy over there needs a beating. That's a direct quote. Every single guy over there needs a beating. And then he goes on to say, quote, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. It's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. Tell them how you really feel, Nick. I agree with him. You know, I think that, you know, it's I'm not going to, let me not do that because of time. I'm not going to go into a huge rant about the Houston Astros sign stealing scandal. You guys know how I feel about it. One of the worst scandals in sports history. So there you have that. All right. Real briefly here, I do want to touch upon the new hire for the Michigan State football coaching staff as Mel Tucker has brought in at least one of his former Colorado assistants to join him here at Michigan State. That being Chris Kapilovic, who, again, was on Tucker's staff back at Colorado. And, you know, he is now the Spartans' new offensive line coach and also run game coordinator. The program made the announcement official last night. The official announcement followed multiple reports earlier that day that Kapilovic was leaving Colorado to join Michigan State. You know, Michigan State football put out an official, you know, picture of Chris, you know, reading, quote, please welcome Coach Chris Kapilovic to the Spartan family. With nearly 30 years of coaching experience, Kapilovic has coached multiple NFL players, first-round draft picks, and record-setting offenses during his career. So, you know, I highlighted, you know, yesterday how it was a bit disappointing. It was just a disappointing weekend for Michigan State fans, wasn't it? You know, I know that, you know, you were hoping that Michigan State was going to somehow land who was it? What, Coach Sparrow? Jack, right?
Vince Merrow.
Merrow Sparrow. I'm thinking Sparrow Hospital right now. Vince
Merrow. I think so. That Sparrow, yeah. Hospital is not a coach, as it turns out.
Not a coach. No. But, yeah, Merrow. And he turned down the Michigan State coaching job. And then, you know, I know the defensive coordinator at Cincinnati, he turned down the coaching job at Michigan State to join Mel Tucker's staff. And I highlighted how, look, this is a timing issue here. You know, D'Antonio leaving when he left put Michigan State, even though they did land Mel Tucker, you know, it still puts Mel Tucker in a really tough position to try and snag sexy assistant coaching candidates at other schools who are already in the thick of things when it comes to preparing for next season. D'Antonio leaves right before the final signing day period. Recruits are in order at all these other schools, and now Mel Tucker has to try and pull off some magic to woo assistant coaches from somewhere. So he's in a tight spot right now. So it makes sense that he goes and, you know, decides to bring on one of his assistant coaches at Colorado. But, you know, MSU football in a tight position, this is, you know, you have to temper the expectations at least for this upcoming year. And, you know, when it comes to Chris Kapilovic, you know, becoming the offensive line coach and also, you know, the run game coordinator for the football team, we all know that one of the many problems under Coach D'Antonio during his final seasons here at Michigan State, one of the big problems was the offensive line, which is why at times I would kind of lay off the gas that was the bashing of Brian Lewerke, because, I mean, he always had defenders in his face. He had to deal with a lot of pressure. I'm not letting him off the hook, of course, but that was one of the glaring problems. It also hurt the run game. You know, if you don't win in the trenches, it is really tough to win, period. So, you know, Kapilovic, you know, he served as Colorado's offensive line coach last year. That was Tucker's first season, in which the Buffaloes finished 5-7. And from what I see, from the very brief research that I did when this news came down, you know, Kapilovic, he goes after big offensive linemen. You know, he wants to beef up that offensive line and make sure you got big bodies there. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, Michigan State's offensive line is going to be like that of like Wisconsin's, but you know, you need big bodies, and you need better offensive linemen to give you better offensive line play here at Michigan State, especially if you're going to open up that run game and give whoever is going to be behind center more time to figure things out. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, this is one of Tucker's first priorities of that six-year deal. It's a pool of $6 million for 10 on-field assistants. Kapilovic is now third in that group. That's after Michigan State announced on Saturday that assistants Mike Tressel and Ron Burton would remain with the program as carryovers from D'Antonio's staff.
Remember when I told you the other day after the Mel Tucker press conference that I thought Ron Burton would be back?
Yeah, I had a feeling too.
I mean, he was like the one really good coach on D'Antonio's staff.
Yeah, Ron Burton was fantastic. Was fantastic. And, you know, also, you know, when you look at where Michigan State is right now, I'll ask you this, Jack. How long do you think it's going to take for Mel Tucker to fill out his assistant coaching staff? Because right now they're kind of up against the clock right now.
Well, let's see. You know? So far he has an offensive coordinator, an offensive line coach. He has Mike Tressel in some role that we don't know yet. He has Ron Burton. So he still needs a defensive coordinator as far as we know right now. Secondary coach. He needs a running back coach. He needs a tight end coach. He needs a receiver coach. I will say...
It's time, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I still would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he brings in probably two or three more Colorado assistants just because there'd be a lot of uncertainty in that program. And the other thing is, too, is he's obviously got to think pretty highly of a lot of those guys when he brought him in for, you know, his first head coaching gig a year ago. He probably thinks enough of most of those guys to bring them with him to Michigan State. So I would say, what's today, Tuesday? I'll say by Saturday he'll have his coaching staff filled out.
By this week Saturday.
Yeah, I would say
he
so.
He'll have his entire cabinet filled out.
Yeah, he's got probably 8 or 9 more assistants to hire, and again, several of them are going to be just moving over from Colorado, probably another internal hire, if you will, with Harlan Barnett. Wouldn't surprise me at this point, even though Harlan wasn't on staff last season. But
well, you know what? Harlan Barnett apparently was present at Saturday's Michigan State basketball game against Maryland, and I think that's saying something. You know, Mel Tucker was there, you know, with like 5 minutes, into the game. He addressed the crowd on the mic, and he was present there. That'd be awesome
with,
if they,
with Ron Burton and Mike Tressel.
Exactly, with Burton and Tressel. So I would assume that, you know, we'll hear some news.
No, it wouldn't surprise me because, again, you know, they missed out on Cincinnati's defensive coordinator. I don't remember his name. So that position still needs to be filled, and that would be another position, or that would be another person in Harlan Barnett that would make a lot of sense to bring him back.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me at all. And then people have been talking about the big hire he's going after is this other assistant from Kentucky, is Steve Klinkscale, the guy who's been getting players from Detroit to go to Kentucky. So I think they'll be in on him.
I didn't hear that.
I would imagine they'll probably land him just because, you know, Kentucky already had to back up a Brinks truck to keep Vince Merrill from joining Michigan State.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to have a lot of money to be able to keep Klinkscale as well. So that wouldn't surprise me if they get him. And yeah, I think this will come together fairly quickly just because it has to.
All right. Well, I told myself probably by the middle of next week, Wednesday.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think that the coaching staff will be filled out. If you remember, Michigan State's offensive line coach last season was Jim Bowman.
He was a good coach, wasn't he?
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
No formal announcement has been made about Jim Bowman and whether or not he's going to be staying on Mel Tucker's staff, that kind of thing. But Bowman, if you've been paying attention, you social media stalkers, last week he changed his bio on his Twitter account to, quote, retired college and NFL football coach. So, yeah, I think you know what that means. All right. Before we hit this first break, I do want to touch on Michigan State men's basketball. Now, we spent about 7 or 8 minutes yesterday just addressing what went wrong on Saturday with Spartan Hoops. And now I believe that Michigan State men's basketball is officially out of the running to win a Big Ten regular season championship. I think that's safe to say now. 5 games remaining. It's going to take like an epic collapse from teams like Maryland and Penn State in order for Michigan State to have an opportunity. But, you know, speaking of opportunity, Michigan State squandered an ideal opportunity to stay in the race, to knock off the top team, and to stay in the hunt for this thing. But right now, we're, again, addressing questions that we've been having for a long time when it comes to this team. Tom Izzo talked to the media yesterday during his weekly press conference, and he basically is trying to breathe some life into his squad. He actually had a film session with the team and broke down, you know, this horrible 5-game stretch that Michigan State is currently on, in which they've only won 1 game, and that took a miracle put-back dunk from Xavier Tillman to keep Michigan State out of making this thing a 5-game losing streak. But they almost blew it against Illinois on the road in that game. But Tom Izzo held a long meeting on Monday morning with his players, and he basically showed them cut-ups of the final minutes of games in which they have not been able to finish with the dub. Aaron Henry, after practice yesterday, said, quote, he keeps showing us how close and close we are. And it's been different games where we've been closer than others. All in all, we're right there. We just got to make those key plays, make those free throws. Don't miss that defensive assignment. Get that rebound. We are super close in all facets of the game. It's just, can we take that step as a team? And this is the thing. You know, Michigan State has lost 9 games by a combined 79 points this season. Izzo, you know, he threw defeats out of his he addressed all these defeats during his press conference, if you watched it. And, you know, he addressed losing by 12 at home against Duke, by 29 at Purdue. And he felt in those games, he said, we got our butts kicked. And the last 7 single-digit losses in which the Spartans were beat by, what I think is 38 combined points, that's a 5.4 point average. He still feels like they're right there. And my point is, look, we got 5 games remaining here in the season for Michigan State. And if you're losing, and I hate, you know, Jack, one of the old sayings in sports that I absolutely do not understand is that, you know, losing close games it's an art. You hear that a lot. It's an art to lose close.
I don't think I've ever heard this phrase uttered ever. You never heard that phrase.
Losing close games, you learn a lot by basically the saying.
Oh, yeah, you can learn from losing. Sure.
Losing close games.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there's an art to it. You know, I hear that saying a lot, and I sit there and say, yeah, but the good, great, excellent teams, they find ways to win close games.
I think I can make this more succinct for you. What you're trying to say is that phrase is kind of for losers, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I mean, it's like Michigan State. How many times do we have to say to ourselves, you know, that they're right there? That they're right there. If you just get that rebound, if you just make that layup, if you hit that free throw, you win. Because it's those moments, if you keep on losing and fumbling in moments like that, it's moments like that that will send you home early come tournament time. And it worries me. Just does. I mean, and if you look at just how Maryland was able to beat Michigan State on Saturday, the last 3 minutes, Maryland goes on a 14-0 run, and you allow Maryland, a team that was ranked 234th in the nation from the three-point line, they were the 234th worst three-point shooting team, and they just torched Michigan State from deep. At one point, Anthony Cowan Jr., who is a baller, but he's not like Steph Curry from three-point range. I mean, Anthony Cowan coming into that game, he was a 35% three-point shooter. That's good. It's not great. And you allow him to go and hit back-to-back-to-back threes on you. I mean, come on, man. Again, it's those kind of things that I just don't have confidence in this team right now. And then I sat back this morning and prepping for the show, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I think this is a legit question for our listeners out there. Is the sophomore class the class that's hurting this team, Jack? I mean, I just look at it, you know, Thomas Kithier is good. He's okay.
He's
not
actually
a world beater.
He's actually probably their most viable option at the power forward right now.
That's not saying a lot.
No, it's not. That's true.
Gabe Brown is Mr. Ghost Recon right now. I had it, you know, during my monologue yesterday, I mentioned how Gabe Brown in the last five games, he's gone with a donut in the points column three of the last five games.
He's gone from very promising to borderline unplayable.
Exactly. I'm looking for him right now. He has hit, I think, like one three-pointer in the last five games. He's put up a donut in the points column three of the last five games. You know, I don't know if he's still battling the flu, but come on, man. You know, and then Foster Lawyer.
Who's that was your guy.
Moments, who's had moments? He's had moments where I'm like, all right, he hit two or three three-pointers in that game. And I'm like, all right, Foster may be finding a groove here. And then as soon as I say that, Foster Lawyer the next game goes out and it's the old Foster Lawyer. And then as soon as I criticize him, he goes out there and hits two or three more threes. I just can't read Foster Lawyer at times. Foster Lawyer is not reliable.
That was your guy.
That was
going
my guy.
Back to,
I mean,
going back
him,
to Clarkston, that was your guy.
Yeah, that was my guy. And then Aaron Henry, way too inconsistent. That's another there's so much inconsistency here when it comes to this sophomore class. Marcus Bingham Jr., he disappears. So the sophomore class right now, you know, it's why Michigan State coming into this year, it's why they were ranked as the preseason number one team. You lose Kenny Goins, you lose Matt McQuaid, and now we're looking in hindsight. And hindsight is 2020. We're looking at those two players like, wow, if Michigan State had Cueto and Goins back on this team, they give you so much energy and they were so efficient from deep. This team is just not a great three-point shooting team if they had both of those guys back. But with them leaving, we didn't know how big of a loss it would be because you looked at that freshman class going into a sophomore year now, like, okay, they could pick up the load. And then at that time as well, you know, a lot of people expected that Langford will be back. Joshua Langford will be back and healthy with this squad. But
that's the big one.
That's the big one. That's huge. But you look at that sophomore class and you say to yourself, you got to give Michigan State more than what you're giving them. But, folks, it's February 18th. What we're seeing right now from Michigan State men's basketball, this is the team that you're going to get come postseason play. There isn't a magic switch that's going to automatically turn on. This team is going to be sprinkled with fairy dust from the college basketball gods. This is the team that you are going to get from here on out. The development time was smack dab in the middle of the year, where I thought maybe they were turning a corner, but no, it's not happening. And, you know, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but this is the reality of this squad. And Izzo right now, he's you could just tell he's like trying to find something to inspire his squad. You know, we're right there. I think the exact quote Izzo stated yesterday was, quote, "We're an eyelash away." We're right there. We're an eyelash away. We're that close from totally turning around this thing. We're that close, we're looking at the past, of still being in the Big Ten lead. But you're also that close to, in my opinion, going home early in the NCAA tournament. On a positive note, Lil X, welcome to the world. You know, I did mention yesterday, I wasn't totally sure, but yeah, I got confirmation after the show that David Tillman and his wife, Tamia, give birth.
I was going to say, shouldn't Tamia get the credit for that?
Preach on, brother.
Yeah.
Preach on. Gave birth to their second child early on Monday morning. She went in Sunday for induction. That was a week before her February 23rd due date. So that is awesome, awesome stuff. Did you see the Spartan All-Access profile on Xavier Tillman, Jack? Wow.
Was it this year or was it in...
Was it like 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days
ago. Okay, because there was one a year or two ago that I've actually seen on X, but not one from this year, no.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was published 2 days ago. I watched it actually on YouTube last night, and man, you talk about it, dude. We all know this. I mean, X is just so mature. You know, you think the dude was 35. I mean, he's married with two kids now.
Right, I was going to say, because
still in college.
Yeah, you're talking about like age being a number. Yeah. I've been on this earth longer than Xavier Tillman, but I'm not older than Xavier Tillman. I'm not sure you are either, to be honest.
Oh, no, 'cause
again, married with two kids.
Come on, man. Not at all. But it's just so awesome. And just, you know, to see that, you know, this dude is also an academic All-American and cares about school, and you see him going to class and, you know, talking to his daughter about, you know, how I don't want her to look back at my college career and say that I just played basketball and didn't go to class, you know, but I'm there and I'm studying. His wife, Tamia, is also working on her degree. They really value education. But, you know, X is just he's an amazing, amazing dad. And he talked about being in the moment. You know, when he's at practice, he's not thinking about family or anything else. He's thinking about the team. When he's with his family, he's not thinking about practice or watching film. He's thinking about his family. When he's being a father, he's there present, living in the present. And, you know, that's the quote that really hit home for me when watching that piece. But if you haven't seen the Spartan All Access on X, check it out. It's really awesome stuff. So, yeah, this is Xavier Jr. He arrived at 12:38 a.m., weighing in at 7 pounds, 9 ounces, measuring 20 3/4 inches, and is healthy and perfect. Quote, healthy and perfect. That is coming from Tillman's mother, Tanya Powell May. That's what she tweeted about her new grandson. So that's awesome stuff. So I'll finish the MSU men's basketball segment on a high note with that, Jack. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll invite Eric Bach to the show. He'll tell us about his latest, first story for us here at WKAR's Current Sports. Pretty timely, right? Because, you know, March Madness is like huge for sports gamblers everywhere. And that's his beat with us for this semester. Sports gambling, that is going to become a huge thing, especially here in the state of Michigan, folks. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Also, I want to pass this along to you guys. I mean, we talked about Michigan State football hiring Chris Kapilovic as the new run game coordinator and, offensive line coach. And I also want to pass along to you guys that Mel is apparently adding another assistant coach at Colorado to his Michigan State cabinet. Jay Johnson, Colorado's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach last season. He will also join the Spartans. That's according to multiple reports on Monday night. So, yeah, and Michigan State hasn't announced the hiring yet, but The Athletic's Bruce Feldman reported that Johnson is expected to be the new offensive coordinator. So there you have that. Man, you know what? Bruce Feldman, Jack, must have like some really good sources within Michigan State. I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the better insiders in college football. But yeah, he has broken a lot of news for Michigan State recently. You're correct.
Definitely. All right. What I want to do right now, before talking a little bit about the Detroit Lions, who have reportedly spoken to other teams about, you know, shipping Darius Slay somewhere, I want to welcome to the show right now one of our many fantastic Current Sports beat reporters and production assistants. And he is also the sports broadcasting director over at Impact Sports. So we are certainly privileged to have Eric Bach a part of our team here at WKAR, who now joins us live here in studio. Eric, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Happy Tuesday to you, my friend. And what I like to do with all of our Current Sports PAs who joined us for the first time here on the air is just give us a little bit about your background, how you ended up here at Michigan State, and what made you study sports broadcasting or sports journalism, I should say.
Sure. So I am a junior journalism major with a minor in sports journalism from Coldwater, Michigan.
Where's that?
70 miles south of here. It's the last establishment before you get into Indiana.
Gotcha.
So a small Class A high school, a little less than 1,000. So not tiny, but not huge.
Yeah.
I've always kind of known that I've wanted to do sports journalism since I was a kid. Both my parents came here to Michigan State. They've had football season tickets my whole life. So I've been around the campus and kind of knew that when I visited here that this was home.
Right.
And it's been home, you know, I absolutely have no regrets. Love it here. But, and so I've joined Impact. I do a lot of football play-by-play for them.
Mm-hmm.
We just won, actually, a bunch of MAB awards for all of our football play-by-play work.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. It was exciting. Do a little bit of basketball, but I also officiate high school and college basketball. So my winner.
Really?
Yeah.
You officiate high school. Not just high school, but college?
And college,
well?
Yeah, yeah.
What division when it comes to college?
So NAIA, D3, JUCO.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Jack, I'm filling a segment on on officiating when it comes to Eric, because I don't know how you – you know, my barber, shout out to Mel on the south side of Lansing.
Yeah, I know Mel.
You know Mel?
Yeah, I work with Mel.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Black guy, glasses, kind of bald.
Yep. I know Mel.
Tell him I said hello, man. That's
my
guy. Well, I see him every week. I go. Yeah, I'm probably seeing him tomorrow to get a haircut.
Yeah. Tell him I said hello.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I will do. We'll do, Eric. He's a great, great guy. And we have conversations all the time when I'm in the chair.
Yeah.
About, you know, how do you deal with the harassment?
Oh, man.
How do you deal with the coaches in your ear? That kind of thing. I mean, what in the world made you? I always ask Mel. I mean, you got to be kind of crazy to do that, man.
Yeah.
But it's for the love of the game, and it keeps you close to the game still, right?
Absolutely. So the way it worked for me was I played football and baseball in high school.
Okay.
And I kind of had my winter free. Yeah. And the MHSAA has this program where juniors and seniors in high school can officiate sub-varsity, so JV and below games.
Right.
So I started doing that, got to Michigan State, started working varsity, got hired onto the college staffs, and kind of just been going ever since then.
That is awesome. How do you balance being a student? You're
it's
at
a lot.
Impact. You're with us. You're at Current Sports now, along with officiating. How many games do you do a week?
So usually it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So
wow.
Sometimes Sunday, too, if I'm lucky. And I also, I supervise the intramural officials here at Michigan State, too.
What?
Yeah, I'm
this
a busy
is
guy.
Insane. I'm privileged just to have you on the show for an hour right now.
I'm a busy guy, but it's good. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it, so no complaints.
Can you tell us a story of you know, maybe a favorite officiating story that you've had dealing with maybe a coach gosh. Or a parent yelling from
there's,
the stands?
There's so many.
it probably happens like every week with you
right.
guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've had some favorite games that I've done. This past year, I worked the Grand Rapids Hall of Fame Classic, which is the four schools in Grand Rapids. It's Calvin, Cornerstone, Hope, and Aquinas.
Okay.
And I worked Calvin and Cornerstone. It was an awesome game. Calvin beat them at the buzzer. Wow. Beat Cornerstone at the buzzer. It was a really fun game, and it was just a really good environment. So that this season, at least, kind of stands out to me as far as that goes. It was really, really fun.
Do you have any aspirations of maybe doing this at the pro level?
Yeah,
Or Division I college?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I've involved with a lot of different groups of people that, you know, kind of push each other to get to that level eventually. It takes a while, but it's a lot of work, but it's fun.
That is awesome stuff. We'll have to chat.
Yeah, we will. We will.
I really want to have an officiating segment now. We've never had an official.
Happy to do it.
Right? To be a part of the show. And also, you're writing for us as well.
Yeah.
And I want you to kind of pub your first story. It'll be live around 3 p.m. today at WKAR.org. So all of our listeners out there, if you want to check out all of the work, along with Eric's, of course, from our current sports production assistant and beat reporting team, you can simply go to WKAR.org to do that. We've been partnering now with Professor Joanne Gerstner in the Journalism 418 course for about 5 years now. Time flies when you're having fun. It's always fun for me. You know, you talk about being the impact sports broadcasting director, Eric. I remember when, you know, we had Zachary Swyzicki on the show.
That's he had my job before I have.
Exactly.
I have his old job.
Swy, my guy. You know, we still keep in touch and, you know, get a chance to go out on the links and play golf.
Oh, yeah.
That's my guy. And I remember Ryan Cole also.
Yep. Another guy.
Another guy, right? Yeah. Ryan is all those two, man. They really stand out to me. You know, Jason Ruff is another one. But I remember when Swy and Ryan, I believe, they were in talks with Michigan State Athletics and trying to get Impact to broadcast live sports like MSU football and basketball and hockey now, which was a hurdle, but they finally did.
They were the two that really got us rolling. It's just the live play-by-play program at Impact is very young. I mean, this is year three. And now this year, so before the only rights that we had, because Impact has an online stream also, and obviously we're on 88.9 FM. In the surrounding Lansing area, it goes about 30 miles every direction, so it's not a super strong FM signal.
Right.
But before, we only had rights to broadcast on the FM, and we didn't have the streaming rights because Spartan Sports Network has those rights for MSU athletics. But now we have secured the streaming rights for ourselves. So now this basketball season, this hockey season, we're both. So you can listen to us anywhere, which is like the final hurdle. Like Ryan and Swy kind of crossed the big stuff for us, and we finally just kind of got over the top. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
You guys are you can choose now if you want to listen to Will Thiemann or check out what you guys do.
Absolutely, you now have a choice.
That is awesome news, man. And I know, and I remember, you know, my very first engineer at Current Sports, who is the founder of Impact, Alex Sharg. Sharg was my engineer for 3 years, man. And I remember when he first came to me with the idea, like, Al, I got this idea, Impact, man. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And then it just progressed from there. So awesome stuff. All right, tell us about your first story.
Sure.
Finally, Eric.
Sure. What I'm here for, right?
Yeah.
So it's just the first story is just kind of an overview of how sports gambling is going to work in Michigan. You know, it's was obviously signed into law by Governor Whitmer back in December. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of the more logistics of how it's going to work. And I went down to Fire's Keepers Casino in Battle Creek and talked to the guy that's overseeing their sports book and how they're going to kind of do that. So it's we go through that, and they're trying to – so I talked to a lady. The main source of the story was a lady by the name of Mary Kay Bean. She's a spokeswoman for the Michigan Gaming Control Board, and they only oversee the Detroit casinos. So the tribal casinos, the ones that are closest to Lansing, Firekeepers in Battle Creek, Soaring Eagle and Mount Pleasant are both tribal casinos, Native American. So they don't have the same type of regulations as the Detroit casinos do. There's still federal regulations and stuff that they have to follow.
Okay.
So the Detroit casinos and those casinos, the two that I spoke of, Firekeepers and Soaring Eagle, are going to have a little bit different regulation type rules. I mean, there's a lot of like fine print there that
yeah, a lot of logistics
that
I feel
that
like,
your
yeah.
listeners would be bored to hear. But
right. Gotcha.
But so we talked a little bit about mobile sports betting and how each casino is going to kind of have the freedom to do their own thing, like an app as far as like mm-hmm. you can bet on, you know, lines and bet on things during games as games are progressing too yeah. and stuff like that. There's some stuff about taxation in there. All the people are, you know, a lot of the opponents of sports betting were saying, well, you're just facilitating gambling problems in Michigan. You're facilitating all this. And a lot of the tax money is going to go to the Lawful Sports Betting Fund and the Compulsive Gaming Prevention Fund. So all right. the revenue generated from this is going to, you know, go back to help those that have, you know, a gambling problem and stuff like that. So,
gotcha.
I mean, there's a lot of information in the first story, but it's an exciting time for those of us. I'm not really one of those people that really is into sports gambling too much mm-hmm. as far as like actually betting my own money, but there are a lot of people out there that are. So it's an exciting time to be somewhat a sports gambler in Michigan. That's for sure.
It's you know, we kind of knew for we've been knowing for a while. This is eventually going to come.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming everywhere.
Everywhere, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Michigan was the 20th state to legalize it, I believe.
Right, and it's really a game changer because I mean now you know you're watching broadcast on ESPN and Fox Sports,
yeah.
and they're talking about lines now. Where
yeah.
Back in the day, that was like taboo. You don't do that. I can bring up Jimmy DeGree, guys. It's a whole other story. But you know, that's becoming so ingrained into sports culture now, and in my opinion, long overdue. So check it out. Again, it'll be live. Eric's story will be live around 3 p.m. So all of those who are interested in sports gambling and want to learn more about it and its impact here in the state of Michigan, you can do so through Eric's piece, and you'll be covering that beat throughout the
yeah.
semester. So you'll have a few more stories
yep.
centered on that. Do you know what the second story is going to be?
Yeah. So actually there's a group on campus that is super like into lines and betting lines and stuff. And so I'm going to go talk to them. And
there's an official group. Like,
well, there's a couple different kind of like informal social groups
okay.
that kind of just meet up and do this. So I'm going to go talk to them, see how this affects them, what they plan on doing and all that sort of thing. So it's going to be a bit more localized version of
right.
the big picture.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Well, Eric, again, welcome to the team. If I haven't told you that already,
yes,
and
thank
looking
you.
Forward to checking out all of your work throughout the semester.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right. Let's hear our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports, addressing the reports coming out centered on Darius Slay and the Lions. Reportedly speaking to other teams about their interest in Darius Slay. We'll touch on that. And I'll have brief thoughts on the NBA All-Star game from Sunday. In my opinion, the greatest All-Star game ever played. All right, we'll be right back. All right, 4 minutes left here in the hour. I do want to know, for what it whatever is worth, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports has Michigan State right now as a 7 seed taking on Tennessee State. And in that side of the bracket, they'll be playing like number 2 Dayton if they get through. But yeah, 7 may be a bit too low for me, Jack. I'm thinking Michigan State will probably be like a 6, maybe 5 seed at best.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I would also take Dayton as the 2 in their bracket all day if I'm a Spartan fan.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, Tennessee State and then, you know, Dayton's in that side is number 2. I don't know. Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. So this may work out. You never know. That's what makes tourney time special. You just never know, but I'm not too confident in this team right now. Also, again, I can only briefly touch on this because of time, but Darius Slay and also, for what it's worth, Mel Kiper does have the Lions taking Tua Tagovailoa.
Did you know I was going to bring that up, though? You knew I was going to bring up Tua Tagovailoa? So you had to wait, that button just waiting for me to say that.
Actually, I was going to use it for the Darius Slay trade rumor because okay. I really like Darius Slay, but Darius Slay getting traded to me says that drafting Tua is a real possibility.
Yeah. Did you look at my notes here?
No, but I mean, yeah. So here's the most Lions thing they could do would be to trade Darius Slay and then use the third pick to draft Jeff Okuda. That would be the stupidest plan of action because they would be creating a hole by trading Darius Slay and then spending their most valuable asset to fill the hole they just created.
Right.
So that's probably what's most likely to happen. But what a smart team would do if they're trading Darius Slay, it means that the mandate that the Fords sent for Quinn and Patricia to win next year isn't real if they're trading Darius Slay, which means drafting Tua is a possibility.
It's a possibility. Let's hope they do, man, because, you know, I look at Tua, and again, I understand the dude is coming off of a pretty serious injury, but, man, Matthew Stafford, you know, his body, you can't rely on it anymore. Draft for the future right now and draft the most, you know, a player who plays the most important position on the football field. I too believe that, okay, if they're asking about Slay, maybe this does open up the door for them to possibly draft Tua Tagovailoa. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. And for another day, I can't wait on this NBA All-Star game. I may just save it until Friday for Reflection Friday, but, thank you so much to Jack Kerwin behind the glass, Eric Bach, his outstanding help on the show today and being a part of the show. Again, his piece on sports gambling here in Michigan will be live around 3 p.m. So you can check that out. But we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.